It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's time to check in with Atlanta United and Atlanta Hawks broadcaster Mike Conti.
Slides it forward, a shot, score!
Brought to you by Lindy and the Empower Home Team.
So, a lot of ground to cover because we haven't talked since Atlanta United made some big news last week, obviously making a change in their front office. But just with the benefit of a little bit more perspective now, post-Falcons loss to the Steelers, got to hear from the coach yesterday, maybe a little more time to think about it. And how are you feeling about the way Week 1 went against the Steelers?
Obviously disappointed because I think we expected things to look differently offensively, but to me it just comes down to one team played a clean game with turnovers and the other did not. If the Falcons, even with T.J. Watt being as disruptive as he was, if the Falcons don't go -3 in turnovers, they're probably going to win that game. Defense did all you can ask for, in my opinion. I'm, in fact, excited about what I saw from the defense. Raheem Morris brought this up in the coach's show last night with Arch, and no one really has talked about it to this point. I thought the Falcons were really solid in special teams. Ran a couple kickoffs back, covered punts and kicks really well. Do you know what the worst break of the game was, in my opinion? It's 15-10 Pittsburgh. What's-his-name gets blocked into the punter.
Oh, yeah.
Initially, we thought, that could be roughing the kicker and the game's over. Mm-hmm. But someone gets blocked into the punter. That punter, by the way, is out for the season. Mm-hmm. Out for the season. Mm-hmm. They bring in a guy who had never punted before.
And he
snaps off a 55-yard yep. punt with no return. That was the worst break of the game. Because I'm sitting there with my wife, and I'm like, look out. I mean, this is going to be probably a 15-20-yard punt. Yep. Falcons are going to get great field position. They might have a field goal try right there. Not that it would help down by five, but they're going to be in business. That, to me, was the worst break of the game. But if you clean up the penalties and the turnovers, and some of the turnovers were a result of the pressure that, the offensive line just, quite frankly, did not deal with very well, I think they're going to be okay. I just hate that now you got to go to Philly. Mm-hmm. It's their home opener. And then you got to turn around and play the Chiefs and the Saints. The schedule looks a little bleak right now. I'd feel a lot better if your next three games were Carolina.
Giants.
New York Giants and Tampa. Yeah. You give me those three, right. And I'm like, okay, you know what? They'll be fine. They'll be 3-1, and they'll have time to work this out. So I get why everyone's disappointed because the expectations were high, and that was the narrative in the offseason. I love how people are blaming us as a radio station. Like, well, you guys told us this wouldn't happen. No, I think we were analyzing that things should be a lot better offensively. That's the thing that bothers me, honestly. Like, if we just want to put our cards out on the table, I don't think Desmond Ritter would have been much worse than what we saw on Sunday.
That's
the frustrating thing to me.
Fair enough.
Fair. I mean, it's a fair
assessment. And he's out of the league.
Boy, do I hope we don't say that again.
God, I pray we don't say that again.
It is a fair assessment.
Objectively,
fair assessment.
I'm watching that game like, this is no different than Ritter being the quarterback right now. Absolutely no different.
They probably would have moved him a little bit.
Yeah, they might have moved him around.
Yeah, you know what?
Away from T.J. Watt a little bit.
They probably would have moved him around.
Let's hope that we're not saying that again.
Ever again.
Yeah.
In life.
Yeah, man. going back to the offense and everything, and listening to Rod's comments yesterday, I think Kurt is healthy enough to play football. I just don't think he's where he needs to be physically to be. That's one of those things.
I totally agree. I totally agree. And Rod's also going to be really careful too, because if you say, "Oh yeah, he's hurt," you're then sending out a message that other teams can hurt. Yeah, well, but you have to be so careful about the messages that you're putting out in public because you don't want teams going in and targeting any part of Cousins' body, for example. I mean, I think everyone knows that it's his Achilles and he's not 100%, but if Rock is out there, he's like, his Achilles is probably only about 70, 75%. You put a little bit of a bullseye on that Achilles. So I'm not saying that he's being dishonest, but I'm saying that he needs to say certain things to protect his quarterback. But I still think, and I've saw it on Twitter after the game on Sunday. Way too soon for the Penix talk.
Yes.
Way too soon for the Belichick talk. I've already been dealing with that.
Yeah, Bill's coming for it to what?
Well, everyone's saying if they had hired not everyone, but certain people in my Twitter have been saying if they had hired Belichick, they would have found a more creative way to deal with T.J. Watt.
Put two people on him. That ain't too damn creative.
It didn't need to be creative.
Yeah, be creative.
Like, that's the thing.
Yeah,
that no one wanted
to be smart.
Yeah, just double it.
I agree with both of you, obviously. I mean, we're way too premature in making declarations about the coach and quarterback.
I'm not liking this new Bill Belichick. This new friendly guy.
Yeah. I don't buy it.
Not a big fan of him. I like him personally. But
in the media renaissance power rankings, Nick Saban has a distinct advantage over Bill Belichick at this moment.
Because he hasn't changed. Nick Saban is the exact same dude he was when he was coaching Alabama. Now that he's on TV, I don't know, maybe he's a little bit.
He's
softer,
not yelling at kids. He's not really yelling at people.
Yeah, but he's pretty much the same vibe.
Right.
Belichick's like yucking it up on TV. Yeah.
Doesn't feel genuine.
It's
weird. It's weird. Let me ask you an Atlanta United question here, because we obviously got the news last week that Carlos Bocanegra was no longer going to be the technical director. It's something that certainly has come up over time as many managers have been changed, but he hadn't. Now he has. I wonder, obviously they're going to replace that role. I wonder, are they going to be searching for a new technical director and a new manager likely? And how much do those two things have to do with one another in the search when the season is over?
Garth Lagerwey made it sound when he had his news conference last week, and I'm trying to remember the day this happened now. I think it might have been Wednesday.
Yeah, I think it was Wednesday.
So much. That just tells you how much
it's been a very busy week.
It's been a very eventful week. Yes. So let's say it was Wednesday. Garth Lagerwey made it sound like those would be two separate tracks and that one would not be related to the other. In other words, you wouldn't be hiring a technical director. He's using the term general manager, by the way. And that's...
Oh, good.
That's a little bit different.
That's helpful. So...
I believe as long as Garth is here, it's going to be general manager, not technical director. There's not a huge difference other than just the nomenclature, but it sounded to me like the general manager might be hired actually after the coach, because Garth is looking at people within Major League Soccer right now that he will not be able to talk to until the season is over. Meanwhile, you've already been underway in this process of looking for a new coach. Rob Valentino is still a candidate, but it sounds like they do have a search firm in place and that at least to some degree, initial discussions have taken place in the coach search. So I don't think the general manager is going to be hiring the coach. Garth said this, the coach will not be the general manager.
All right.
Okay, and that's been brought up a couple times, too. Sometimes you do have that, where the head coach does have the authority of being general manager. I think Bruce Arena most recently did that when he was with New England. That's not going to be the case either, according to Garth.
So Garth is going to pick both.
And they're going to be separate hires.
So there won't be any kind of thought process as far as, like, if you hire this general manager, who would you like to coach? That's going to be all Garth, you think?
Doesn't sound that way. Now, the one thing Garth did say was, I mean, he strongly hinted that the general manager is going to have MLS experience.
Right.
So I think it was Joe Patrick asked him the same question. Okay, if your general manager is going to have MLS experience, does that mean your coach is going to have MLS experience? And Garth said, not necessarily, but... he is looking for a coach who at least understands how MLS works, that you're not Liverpool where you can just throw out your whole roster and sign a whole bunch of guys and do that legally with the financial rules. So in that sense, there might be a connection perhaps between the new general manager and the new coach if they both came from MLS backgrounds, maybe at some point. They were with the same team. But again, I did not get the impression that it's going to be the general manager hired. In fact, as far as the timeline is concerned, if Garth has to wait until the end of the season, Garth is going to be the general manager for quite a long time. And we'll have to navigate combine, draft, the early stages of player movement when the season ends and free agency and allocation and all of that. You're going to want to have a coach in place very, very soon after the season. It sounds like they might have a little more time to get a GM.
So, I mean, things are changing, obviously. Yes. I think we all are on the same page as far as hoping that those changes get us back to where it had been and winning and all of that fun. How much fun were you having at halftime of the Penn State Bowling Green game?
Not.
Probably not much.
All.
Yeah.
Not at all.
What's going on? Because I'm just thinking about the Big Ten. Penn State and Oregon. It just seems like they're
two different things. Oregon, okay. I think, has been consistently underwhelming to this point. No disrespect to Pacific Northwest people.
No, say as much bad stuff about Oregon as
Penn
you
State
can.
Had one bad half.
Half, okay.
And I think the final score may have been a little misleading. I mean, look, you're going to give any team, I think, the benefit of the doubt in a first half of a noon kick. Mm-hmm. That's going to be tough. Full credit to Bowling Green. Their head coach was the former quarterbacks coach at Michigan, Scott Loeffler. I think he was Tom Brady's quarterbacks coach. I'm not positive. Really smart guy. Had a great game plan. Penn State completely off balance, completely fooled by it. Connor Bazelak was the Indiana transfer quarterback who torched Penn State last year in a home. As soon as I heard his name, I'm like, here we go. Because, you know, you have that guy sometimes.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
There's that bogey quarterback. Yeah. Like, Jameis Winston's a pretty good example. You know, Jameis Winston's career with Tampa was average.
Until.
But when he would play the Falcons, he looked like, you know, Tom Brady.
Yeah.
So that happens. You get a bogey quarterback. Maybe it's a bogey quarterback. Penn State's off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This week. So I can have a low stress weekend. And then next week they play Kent State, who just lost to St. Francis, an FCS school. So I'm hoping for a few kind of low stress weeks before we have to play Illinois. But look, honestly, much rather be Penn State than Notre Dame right now.
Hell yeah,
boy!
You didn't lose.
Yeah. And in this era right now, where style points don't matter as much.
Yeah.
Win and survive and move on.
You got to keep that zero in the loss column as long as you can. You kind of one dumb thing that has always bothered me about Bowling Green.
What's that? They're not green.
They don't have green in
their
colors.
Yeah, orange and black.
Orange and black.
Orange and brown.
Yeah, brown, whatever. Yeah.
They're in Ohio, even though the town of Bowling Green is in Kentucky.
I know.
That doesn't make sense either.
It's very confusing. I'm glad they lost.
Yeah.
For a number of reasons.
Yeah, to heck with
those included.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.